The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. On the night before he was crucified, the Lord Jesus prayed to the Father in the presence of his disciples with these words, "I do not pray for these only, but also for all those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one." That they may all be one. But when we look at Christ's church in this world, we see that it's sadly divided by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. And so it has been from the very beginning. And if you doubt that, you need only read the New Testament scriptures, especially the letters of St. Paul and the letters of Peter and James and John, which all address the sad reality of error and division in the churches. And if we ask why all this is so, the answer is this. Although everyone who has been baptized into Christ and places trust in him is fully and freely forgiven, so that the Father sees us not in our sinfulness, but clothed in the perfect righteousness of our Savior. In ourselves, we remain sinners who can never stop praying, "Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses." And as the sinners we are, we continue to fall short of the glory of God, and we continue to be subject to the assaults of Satan. And we continue to live in a world which does not know and indeed hates the truth revealed in Christ, the Father's Word made flesh, the Father's Word to the world he loves. And that's why the church's story is of one long struggle against Satan, against a world which does not know God as he has shown himself in Christ, and against the sin which clings so closely even to God's dear, forgiven children. And yet, in all this struggle, there have always been those who have been very faithful. The holy martyrs who remained faithful unto death. The great teachers who confess the truth of Christ. And all those simple Christians who have confessed Jesus as their Lord and only Savior and have tried, however haltingly, however imperfectly, to follow him. Today we are remembering the 494th anniversary of the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. We're remembering those faithful confessors of Christ who presented the confession of their faith to the Emperor Charles V in the city of Augsburg. You may remember that the emperor had summoned all the princes and representatives of his empire to meet with him because the Turks, who were the militant Islam of that day, had in fact reached the gates of Vienna. And because Charles's empire was divided by the religious controversy that had broken out in the wake of Martin Luther's call to repentance, his call to return to the truth of Holy Scripture. The Emperor Charles was himself a devout Christian. He was saddened by the controversies in his empire, and he wanted to do whatever he could to bring an end to the controversy and division, in part so that his empire would present a united front against the militant Islam of that day. And so late in the afternoon on June the 25th of the year 1530, seven Lutheran princes and representatives of the cities of Nuremberg and Reutlingen presented the confession of their faith to the emperor. In an effort to help the Christians of the empire to find unity in the one truth of Christ's one saving gospel. No new and strange teaching, but nothing more and nothing less than the faith once delivered to the saints. A confession of faith firmly grounded in Holy Scripture, the written Word of God. A confession expressing the common faith of the one Church of Christ, centering in the joyful truth that in Jesus God has done everything that needed to be done to save sinners like you and me, and through him to overcome death and open to us the way of everlasting life. And in their confession, the confessors of that day spoke of how this precious treasure of forgiveness, life, and salvation God freely gives us through holy baptism, through holy absolution, and through the wonderful sacrament of Christ's true body and blood, that holy and exalted mystery in which Christ is truly received, the memory of his passion renewed, and a pledge of future glory given to us. The confession of faith that was presented on that Saturday afternoon in Augsburg on that late June day soon became, along with Luther's small catechism, the principal confession of the faith of the Lutheran Church, and remains so to this very day. And as I've often pointed out, the cornerstone of this church building following the name of the church of our Savior, is marked with the letters UAC. UAC, which stands for Unaltered Augsburg Confession. That inscription bears witness to the faith of the pastor and people who built and dedicated this church. And it remains a silent invitation to continue in this confession of faith, not because it's the confession of our forebears, but because it is the faithful response to the saving truth revealed in Him who is the Father's eternal Son and Word made flesh, to whom be glory together with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.